Into the snare I fell of fair, fallacious looks, venereal trains, softened with pleasure and voluptuous life, at length to lay my head and hallowed pledge of all my strength in the lascivious lap of a deceitful concubine, who shore me like a tame wether, all my precious fleece, then turned me out, ridiculous, despoiled, shaven, and disarmed among my enemies. Young man, beware. She'll do the same for you. Such a warning is never untimely, but it is especially timely now when Delilah's shameless sisters are sprawled, half-nude, around the shores of Britain, or miniskirted prowl our streets. Concubinage is an ugly word, but it is only flirtation taken one stage further. Young man, young woman, flee youthful lusts. As you love your soul, flee from temptation. His birth, his boyhood, his strength, his weakness, and now his punishment. A few words will do. Ask for this great deliverer now, and find him eyeless in Gaza, at the mill, with slaves. Poor sunlight. Feeling those empty eye sockets while groping in the dark, and remembering the lovely name his mother gave you, her high hopes, and the great destiny to which God had appointed you, which has never been fulfilled. Why? Because of the misuse of those God-given eyes. Who can enter into his thoughts as day after day he treads the mill? In the dark, and finally, his end. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again. Oh, thank God for that. Howbeit, there was no howbeit with Saul. Listen to Alexander McLaren. He says the growth of his hair is not there mentioned as a mere natural fact, nor with the superstitious notion that his hair made him strong. The long locks were the visible token of his vow of consecration. Their loss was the consequence of his breach of that vow. Their growth was the visible token that the fault was being repaired. Bishop Hall adds, his hair grew together with his repentance, and his strength with his hair. And the reality of his repentance is revealed in the last grim act of the tragedy. Samson is summoned from the treadmill to the temple of Dagon to be made a buffoon for the drunkards who were celebrating his defeat. Poor, blind sunlight. He had to dance and laugh while 3,000 Philistines glutted their hatred on the sight. Samson asked the lad that held him by the hand to let him feel the pillars upon which the temple rested. And then he prays. Listen to his prayer. O Lord God, remember me. He asks that the broken fellowship be restored. Remember me and strengthen me. He recognizes the sole source of his strength. Only this once, revealing his humility, because he feels that after such a fall, he can never be used to the destruction of God's enemies as he was before. But he is. He is, as he bows himself with all his might, and the temple comes crashing down. The dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Is there someone here who, like Samson, was the subject of bright hopes in early days, but who, through sin of some kind, not necessarily effeminately vanquished, but perhaps more often than we generally realize, but not always that some sin, that through that sin, all those hopes have been disappointed. Do you feel that now it is too late? You're on the other side of the hill, perhaps. Or you've gone so far away and so deeply into sin that you say, well, I've lost all hope of restoration. Oh, my dear brother, my beloved sister in Christ, remember, sunlight. And if you will even now repent and ask for that broken fellowship to be restored, God may yet use you beyond your wildest dreams before he takes you home, as he did with Samson. McLaren concludes his comments on Samson with these words: how beautifully the quiet close of the story follows the stormy scene of the riotous assembly and the sudden destruction. The Philistines, crushed by this last blow, let the dead hero's kindred search for his body amid the chaos, bear it reverently up the plain, up from the plain, to the quiet grave among the hills of Dan, where Manoah, his father, slept. And there they lay that mighty frame to rest. It will be troubled no more by fierce passions or degrading chains. Nothing in his life became him like the leaving of it. The penitent heroism of its end makes us lenient to the flaws in its course. and we leave the last of the judges to sleep in his grave, recognizing in him, with all his faults, a true soldier of God, though in a strange garb. And the inspired chronicler endorses this verdict when at the last he enrolls Samson among the heroes of faith. What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, who through faith subdued kingdoms. We don't find any record of Saul in this list. Why not? Was it because God was any less gracious to Saul than to Samson? No, assuredly not. It was because Saul never repented. But Samson did. Oh, poor Samson lifted his broken heart in faith to God for forgiveness and for restoration. God not only forgave, but he forgat all his sins. And at the last, he only remembered his exploits of faith. There, sins and iniquities will I remember no more. When God forgives, he forgets. And he will do the same for you if only tonight you will acknowledge your sins. This is a humbling thing to do, especially some of you may be Christians of long standing. You may bear office in the Church of Jesus Christ. Others look up to you as a Christian leader. But in your heart, you know, the fellowship has been long since broken. You don't love Jesus anymore. You're afraid of him. You look with apprehension at the day of when you will stand before Jesus and the secrets of all hearts shall be made known. Oh, my beloved, will you not allow God, who has been speaking to your heart, forget the other hundreds or the thousands. He's speaking to you as if you were the only person in this tent at this moment. You know he's spoken to you. Now what are you going to say to him? You know, you don't need me to preach the gospel to you. You've known it so many years and perhaps could preach it so well. You know all about the cross of Calvary. You know that the purpose of his coming into this world was to bear your sins in his body on the tree. But you also know that the blood that Jesus shed is of perennial efficacy. That the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, goes on cleansing us from all sin when we seek to walk in the light as he is in the light. And so in the name of the Lord, I would appeal to you as a fellow sinner, and indeed, alas, as one who has known in the past what it is to get right away from God, to have known the bitterness of being a backslider. And I had a grudge in my heart against God. Long, long time of sorrow until he brought me back. It was a hard way back, it always is. But, oh, beloved, it's worth it. Come tonight. Acknowledge the truth. If there's some controversy between you and God at any point, we're going to bow in silent prayer in a few moments. What I am inviting you to do in the name of my Lord is to be honest with God and with yourself. Don't pretend. God hates hypocrites most of all. Just be honest and say, "Oh God, you know my heart. You know what I've done. You know what it has meant to me and perhaps what it's meant to others. And oh God, I want to come back, fully back, and never to go away again by thy grace. Lord, remember me. Please restore the broken fellowship. Then, if it pleases you, Lord, strengthen me by that mighty spirit of thine, as once of yore. Then, Lord, oh, I can't expect you to do very much with me, but, Lord, whatever you have to do through me in the remaining days of my life, I want you to do it. I leave that with you. But, Lord, above all, I just want to come back, right back, and I want to do it now." And so we're going to bow in a moment of just silence. I don't need to tell you what to say. All I'm asking you to do is, if you're conscious of the fact that you have got a distance between you and the Lord, that you confess the fact to your Father and say, "Lord, you know, now I'm willing to tell you. Lord, I acknowledge it. It's hard to do it, but I do it. I must. I can have no peace until I do. I acknowledge that sin as sin before thee. I don't try to blame others, though they may be involved. I take my responsibility for my share of my sin. Oh, Father, please forgive me. I claim your promise. If we confess our sins, thou art faithful because thou hast promised. Thou art just because Jesus has died for this very sin. Thou art faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now speak to your Father, who has been speaking to you in silence. "And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Go and sin no more. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen."